Win the YouTube chat right now, taking your questions. Jump in the stream at the Fan LA and smash that subscribe button. Fish and Deck know their stuff when it comes to trivia.
Well, kinda.
Let's see who'll make the final out.
All right, we're bringing in Hype Man Raj to play a little bit of the final out. Raj, explain the rules of the game.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to ask you a little question. It may or may not have been something we brought up in the show. It could be some pop culture. Ah. But you guys go back and forth, ping pong, if you will. And first one, the last man standing, who doesn't make the final out, that's when the game is over.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
You're giving us basically a top 10 list. We have to name things in the top 10.
Yeah, this one actually has 12, though. So, you ready?
Okay.
So, we talked a lot about LeBron James today, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about him. You've heard of him. Well, gentlemen, can you name me the NBA players in the history that have played 20 or more seasons?
Oh, God.
There are 12 of them, so don't be all God to me. You should be able to get some. Go ahead, since you want to be participating.
I don't want to participate.
Go ahead.
I can't think of 20-year players all...
Of any sport? What was
it? No,
pretty
NBA.
Much any sport.
NBA. Geez,
20-year players in the NBA.
Yep.
Okay, Karl Malone.
Jesus, man. You just...
You're off to a great start, Raj.
Yeah. Let me give you another chance. Since this is, it's a new show, so...
Wait, is Malone not on there? I thought he played 20 years.
Hang on, let me see. 1, 2, 3... No, man.
Let me start over.
Yeah, go ahead.
That was a trial run.
Uh-huh.
I do know Kevin Garnett did it.
Yes, you are right.
Okay.
Kevin Garnett played 21 seasons, 1,400 games. All right, Derek.
Vince Carter.
He just went to number 2 on you. 22 seasons. That's right. Isn't it crazy Vince played that many seasons because he was so high-flying earlier, but then he changed his game and just...
Yeah.
Dirk Nowitzki, that's right. 21 seasons for Dirk.
I'll admit, I got a little scared. I got a little sweaty about
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that wasn't positive.
What you got, Derek?
I'm going with the Black Mamba. 20 years in one uniform.
Scroll down. 20 years for Kobe. You got that one.
All right, I'm going to go with a guy who played 20 years in every uniform, CP3.
Oh, Chris Paul. Now, did he retire or is he still active?
I believe he officially announced his retirement.
Okay, Chris Paul is on the list.
I'm really running low now.
We're looking for players that have played 20 or more NBA seasons. Of course, we talked a lot of LeBron, and we will be in this offseason.
I got two, maybe.
Uh-oh.
Robert Parrish.
Chief! He dug with the Chief. That's right, the Chief, Robert Parrish, 21 seasons.
Did Kyle Lowry play 20 years?
Kyle Lowry. Say it with your chest, man.
I don't feel confident in what I just said.
20 years and counting because he is still active. Kyle Lowry is on the list. We're looking for players with 20 or more seasons. Ooh,
I'm
pickings here.
I'm out.
What you got, D-Fish?
I'm trying to remember if I'm going to go with John Stockton.
John Stockton. What was his nickname? Did he have a nickname? The General? Something like that?
He should have had all kind of nicknames.
Yeah, well, that is incorrect. So we have a champion. It is Cody. Cody wins. You got it, Cody.
All right, I should not have won that.
Yeah. No.
I'll freely admit I should not have won that one.
Some guys you didn't name. Okay, Derek, an NBA player, a power forward with the shortest arms you've ever seen in your life.
Kevin Willis,
dinosaur arms. He had Marcellus Wiley arms, the dinosaur arms. A gentleman that played, a teammate of LeBron in Miami.
20 years?
Yep.
In Miami?
Udonis Haslam.
Okay, yeah.
Never would have gotten that.
One of the players with the best handles, the crossover.
Jim Hardaway?
No, but Jamal Crawford. And
Jamal got 20. Okay.
Another Laker you're missing, at least ended his career with the Lakers.
Really?
Yes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You guys missed that one. Yeah, that's okay.
I was
going
to say him before Stockton, but I figured out, like, I knew he was on there. I was just going to go to Stockton.
Has Al Horford not played for 40 years?
Damn near. He's about to be.
It really feels like Al Horford should be on this list.
But guys, being on the list, we're looking at a breakout list maybe. Roky Sasaki, do you like what you saw? This is what Dodger fans have been waiting for. We got to see some of that last night. Cody, can this continue?
Can it? Yes. And by the way, I even saw the comment on Twitter. There's a guy on Twitter that did not like me saying relatively nice things about Roky Sasaki just now. I would like to quote verbatim. It basically says, calm down on, relax on Saki, Sasaki. It was a 4A Angels team. They only have 16 wins, and it's almost June. It's good confidence builder, but I want to see him do this against a quality baseball team. I completely agree with Mike's assessment on that.
That's fair.
This is a guy that has, of all of the names that they brought in, and I'll even slightly pigeonhole it a little bit more, of all the Japanese names they brought in, you got Yamamoto, who's going to be a perennial Cy Young candidate, provided his health remains. You got Shohei Ohtani, who might end up being the greatest player who's ever donned a baseball field, and if you believe the numbers right now, is absolutely going for that Cy Young. The one name that hasn't kind of fit this for the Los Angeles Dodgers has been Roky Sasaki. Except one thing. He did have to pitch out of the bullpen last playoffs, and when he moved to the bullpen, he absolutely killed it. The problem with that is that's a lot of money to pay to a guy that you're only going to get out of the bullpen. So yesterday, I thought a pretty good confidence builder. But man, he still's got a 5 ERA, D-Fish. It's just, the guy gets hit and he gets wild. And once he starts getting wild, he stays wild. He's young, though.
Yeah, very, very young. You know, still learning your way, especially as a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. Like, there's, you know, again, better, much better than I do. That is not an easy transition to make. I also believe, again, just a theory, like part of being on teams is like you really, your comfort level, confidence, etc., like it also comes from like you really knowing your place and where you fit in and exactly how you're valued and that you're actually like needed. Like, you know, athletes like to feel like this team needs me in order to be successful.
Yeah.
And then that kind of, you end up tapping into the best parts of who you are because you know that's what's required in order to be successful. I would argue for Sasaki, like he doesn't always see himself as a guy that has to do well in order for the team to do well.
Yeah.
They can still win World Series titles without him having a less than one ERA.
I agree. By the way, that's the other thing that actually goes on my Ohtani point. Like earlier we talked about Shohei Ohtani. Of course, if you missed this early in the show, you can go back in the Odyssey app and check it out. But my whole thing on Shohei Ohtani is he's not, I personally do not think Shohei Ohtani will be in the MVP race at the end of the season. And the reason I think that is because I don't think he's really going all in on the offensive side. Now, he's going to put up great numbers despite it all. No problem. He's Shohei Ohtani. A bad year for Shohei Ohtani is the greatest year for anybody else, practically. But this guy wants that Cy Young hardware. And if there's one thing we've seen from the Dodgers these last, the Dodgers 2 years ago beat the Yankees in the World Series with their AAA pitching staff. Last year, they had injuries galore throughout the season, and they still sleptwalked through the year and had an amazing playoffs, of which winning their second World Series in a row. They don't need Roky to really do all that much throughout the season. They don't need Ohtani to hit this season. They really don't. This team is so stacked to the gills that Ohtani can take some days off and focus on getting himself a Cy Young, because him getting that Cy Young makes him one of one of one of one of one. It's no longer a conversation of who the greatest of all time is anymore. It's Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, if he can pull that off.
I mean, it's crazy.
Which seems like he's on his way to doing. I think Sasaki, yeah, agreed. It was the Angels. Not the hardest.
I would agree.
You know, lineup that a young pitcher is going to face.
Good Got confidence it. Builder, but
cool. Yes, but yeah, man. It, you know, he's got shadows all over the place. You know, with the Dodgers as well.
Big time.
It's like Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Ohtani,
it's
Yamamoto.
Hall of Fame galore.
Yeah, and so,
and make no mistakes, that manager, Dave Doc Roberts, that is going to be, he's a Hall of Fame manager. He mm-hmm. flat out is. Everyone in LA complained for years that Doc didn't know what he's doing. Doc's been the best manager in baseball from jump. He really has been.
That's a great way of, you know, not just helping his players perform well, but just like I don't know. I feel like you can see that he makes it a point for his guys to know that he's just there. Like, he's got their back. He believes in them. He trusts them. You can tell he's having the hard conversations throughout the season. And so he's a big part of why the Dodgers have been so successful, not just the talent on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Managing or coaching high talent is harder sometimes than not. It just because you have the most talent doesn't mean you're going to win. Juggling the egos and the expectations and the performance levels and that's not easy to do. And so I know a lot of people, you know, Phil Jackson, for example, like didn't win Coach of the Year a lot in the NBA because people just felt like he had Michael Jordan, so they were supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that easy.
Yeah,
like it's sometimes harder to win when you have talent at such a high level, because winning requires so much work and attention to detail that sometimes talent can fool you into thinking you can just win off talent. And so, yeah, Dave Roberts is the man for that reason. But yeah, Sasaki, you know, hopefully he can build off of this. There are those opportunities during the season as well. Like,
yeah,
regardless of who the opponent is, there are certain experiences that you have that become like core memory experiences, and your nervous system and your body remembers like, oh yeah, this is how to do that. Got it. Now I can like put that out there more consistently. So hopefully Sasaki, even against better teams, can kind of hold on to some of the things that he put out against the Angels.
You mentioned something earlier, like, because earlier we were talking about like the bright lights of like Staples Center and compared to like the MSGs of the world. What's your assessment of, as a guy that's been around a lot of cities and played for a lot of different cities, the bright lights of LA? You know, Sasaki came here under a pretty hefty contract. The lights here are quite bright, especially when how great the other two Japanese talents are doing on the team. How much of that do you think is actually playing? My question is, do you think like Oroki Sasaki, being the young, talented cat that he is, might be better off in a city like Cincinnati?
Possibly. You know, just due to his wiring, right? Like some athletes, it's not a weakness, but it's a wiring,
mm-hmm,
in terms of a particular market, you know, or landscape, media coverage, expectations, pressure. It's not a weakness for those things to impact you or your performance differently than they would if you were in a smaller market with less of that going on. It could just be a part of your makeup due to childhood experiences, due to baseball experiences as a kid, due to a lot of things. And so it's not so much like, oh man, this guy or this girl is soft or weak or this or that. They can't handle A, B, or C. It's not that. Like, the physical talent is there. But there, yes, that does play a role. If you go to college, for example, like you went to college in LA.
I did.
Even though you grew up here in LA, like, for a lot of athletes, that's the worst place to be.
Absolutely.
college sports.
Believe it or not, it was my goal to play in LA in college.
Yeah.
That was like a goal.
For a lot of athletes, they need to actually not be in their hometown. Mm-hmm. They need to be somewhere else. Doesn't mean you're a better or worse baseball player. It just means being somewhere else with less things to worry about or stress over or perceive are things to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just different when you play in other places, and LA is one of those places, and in particular Dodgers, you know, Lakers, etc., with all of the championship legacy that kind of hangs over all of it. Yeah, it's different when you put that uniform on.
Yeah.
It just is.
Well, with your makeup, I mean, I'm assuming you preferred the bright lights of the big city. I mean, based on the 5 rings you got here, but you did play in other cities. Like, the comparison of the brightness of those lights, what is that like?
For me, it wasn't so much like wanting the bright lights. I think for me, it was my wiring is to win. And so the things that came with being in LA and being part of an organization that was about winning and winning championships, that it just, it aligned with my basketball athletic spirit. And so I was less impacted in a sense by the bright lights and the stage and all the things that come with wearing the Lakers uniform, because winning was like the laser focused thing that I tracked all the time. Yeah. So it didn't matter where I played. Like my eye, you know how sometimes when you're, you know, you go to the doctor and they're like, okay, just
don't
turn your head, just follow the finger. So for me, winning was the finger.
Nice.
So LA, Oklahoma City, Golden State, Utah, wherever, it's winning that I'm focused on. So then I don't even see all of the, I don't see you sitting courtside at the Lakers game. I don't know what album you just released today. Sorry, because I'm thinking about winning.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, guys, take a quick little break. 855-97-LA-FAN. And, of course, you can take us anywhere on the go with the Odyssey app. And, of course, you can watch us live right now on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube at TheFanLA. Derek and Decker are going to take our final break of the day. But coming up, we have a very, very, very rare opportunity.
Cody.
Thank you. I said coming up. I'm getting better. I'm growing. We've all grown. And here's the deal. We have a very rare opportunity ahead of us. We get to introduce the city of Los Angeles, not only to our show, but the mid-morning show. Right after this, joining us for some crosstalk, Brock and Alex coming up next.
Bumper to bumper and the signal's fading. Signal's fading. Take us with you on the always free Odyssey app. Everywhere I go. Search 97.1 The Fan. Los Angeles doesn't whisper sports. This city breathes sports.
The Dodgers stand tall!
From Dodger Stadium to Crypto to SoFi. To every sports bar, freeway, and beach across Southern California. You, the fan, are the heartbeat of LA sports. Now, the biggest sports city in America has a voice to match. Introducing 97.1 The Fan. The voice of LA sports. Live and local. Every take.
The fact that it is LA, perfect timing.
Every rivalry.
LA comes to Boston and wins the world title.
Every win.
Shohei Ohtani, the 50-50 club.
Every heartbreak.
A game-winning home run.
Every moment. On air.
I just want to plant my flag right here.
He's not going to get the pass Kobe got.
On video.
What matters now? Championship or bust.
And in your feed.
The Los Angeles Rams are world champions.
Welcome to 97.1 The Fan.
The impossible has happened.
The new voice of LA sports.
LA